Thank you much. Mm-hmm. It is 7:03 on May 12th, 2021. I hereby call this meeting of the Mayor and Council of the Township of Clinton to order. Madam Clerk, have we met all the requirements of the laws governing the Open Public Meetings Act and the Sunshine Law?
Yes, we did.
Thank you very much. If you would all join me in a salute to the flag, I have one behind me if you need one. Otherwise, do your best. Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America.
To the Republic
for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with justice for all.
Would you please call the roll?
Councilman Glazer?
Here.
Councilman Strauss?
Here.
Councilman Switlick?
Here.
Council President Kochanowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Millett?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Before we enter our first session of public comment, I just want to take one moment to recognize and acknowledge the passing of a longtime resident of Annandale Village. Stella Robinson passed on May 2nd at the age of 103. She'd been a resident of Annandale and Clinton Township since 1953. So I know she'll be missed by many who've known her and her family for many, many years in the community. And I just wanted to acknowledge the Robinson family's loss. Okay. On that note, we move now to comments from the public. This is for items listed on the agenda only.
Brian?
Yes?
I don't have the record button anymore.
That's okay. I still show that it is continuing. And, okay. And Vita probably has it.
Okay.
We'll now start our first public comment session for items listed on the agenda. Please note that if you are here to comment on any of the ordinances for which we have public hearings, I'd ask that you hold your comment until that public hearing. Instructions are as follows. We will have two public comment periods. The first will be for items that are listed on the agenda, and the second will be for items not on the agenda. If you are using a computer, please click on Participants and then click on Raise Hand next to your name. If you're using a mobile device, click Raise Hand from the meeting controls. If you've called in using your telephone, press *3. You'll hear the prompt, you have raised your hand to ask a question. Please wait to speak until the host calls on you. If you need to unmute yourself, please press *6. I will do my best to call on people in the order in which they have raised their hands. Everyone will be limited to 3 minutes. And we've got quite a large attendance tonight, so we want to keep it quick. I'm looking to see if anyone has raised a hand. I don't see any hands at the moment. Give everyone another minute. Okay, seeing no hands raised, I'll ask that anyone who's on virtually and would like to speak, you can unmute yourself. Comment as you wish. Hearing no comments and seeing no one on the phone, well, anyone on the phone who might need to press *6. And then this is the last opportunity. Oh, I heard a hand. Okay, Ms. Alfano, for items on the agenda only.
Sorry, that was what I was trying to confirm. Thank you.
Yep, I'm waiting. You got it. All right. Then I hereby close this public comment session, and we'll move to the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk are considered to be routine by the Township Mayor and Council and will be enacted by a single motion. There will not be separate discussion of these items unless requested by the mayor, a council member, or citizen, in which event the item will be removed from the general order of business and considered in its normal sequence on the agenda. I'll begin with the mayor and council. Are there any items on the consent agenda that we wish to pull?
No.
Discussion. Okay, thank you much. Any members of the public chime in? No need to raise your hand. If you're on the phone, I see someone on the phone now, star six. Hearing none, may I have a motion for the consent agenda?
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Councilman Glazer, may I have a second?
Second.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Cochineau?
Yes.
Mayor Malay?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you much. Now we will recognize really outstanding individuals who quickly on their feet, and others from the South Branch Emergency Services Squad who went through quite a bit of training to be prepared to assist in a real life-saving situation at Round Valley Reservoir, which is located in the township, where we had a couple of people who were overturned in January when it was quite cold and in the water and needed to be rescued. So I have a proclamation here that I will read for them. Whereas on January 30th, 2021, just after 10 a.m., South Branch Emergency Services was called to respond to Round Valley Reservoir for a report of possible victims in the water by bystanders on the shoreline. And whereas first arriving units met with the bystanders, Michael Mosier, Hunter Cryan, and A. Wilk, and found an overturned boat about 500 yards out with one to two people stranded on top of it. And whereas South Branch Emergency Services Water Rescue Team arrived with Marine 365 and four rescuers, Deputy Chief Chris Miller, Rescue Lieutenant Walter Dorf, Chip Milcarrick, and Bailey Pyle. And whereas the rescue team found two adult males who had been in the water anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes and were exhibiting many signs of hypothermia. Crews were able to arrive, pull the victims out, and return in just under 1 minute, with the total rescue from shoreline to shoreline being just under 5 minutes. Victims were carried from Marine 365 and transferred to basic life support and advanced life support crews at the shore for treatment on scene and prompt transport to the hospital for further evaluation and treatment. And whereas the combined efforts and swift actions of the bystanders on shore, the BLS and ALS crews who treated the patients, and the South Branch Emergency Services Water Rescue Team truly made a difference in the outcome of the rescue. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the governing body of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey, that Deputy Chief Chris Miller, Rescue Lieutenant Walter Dorf, Chip Milcarrick, and Bailey Pyle of the South Branch Emergency Services Water Rescue Team, and Michael Mosier, Hunter Cryan, and A. Wilk are officially recognized and honored for their swift action and efforts in saving two individuals from a life-threatening situation. This proclamation is hereby presented to Deputy Chief Chris Miller, Rescue Lieutenant Walter Dorf, Chip Milcarrick, Bailey Pyle, Michael Mosier, Hunter Cryan, and A. Wilk at this scheduled council meeting on May 12, 2021, and shall become part of the official minutes of said meeting. Thank you all so much for your dedication and your quick action. It's recognized and greatly appreciated. Sorry we couldn't do this in person. Pretty soon, hopefully, we'll be able to, but I can see there, Deputy Chief Buchanan, and I see Frank, Chief Sitnicki, and the whole crew, I think, at the rescue squad. So good job, everyone. Thank you very much.
Mayor and Council and Public Safety Director Strauss, I want to thank you for recognizing these guys, especially the three bystanders. They probably had about 5 minutes more in the water. We might have had a different outcome. So it was due to them calling immediately and, you know, the quick response by South Branch that they were saved. But thanks for recognizing that. We appreciate it.
Our pleasure. And thank you for all the good work that the squad does. You're a great asset to the community and really, honestly, great work by the bystanders.
Thank you again.
Thank you, Chief.
Okay, we'll continue on with the business of the meeting. On the presentation by Prevention Resources, Ms. Leslie Gable is here to discuss some of the issues surrounding cannabis and issues, honestly, that all municipalities in the state are facing, not just with new legislation, but in general. So at this point in time, I would ask Ms. Gable to share her screen, and I will, if you're not already, I will allow you to present.
Are you able to hear me? Let's start with that.
Yes, we can hear you now, for sure.
Okay. So I'm not sure if it's letting me...
Got it.
Okay, good. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. As you said, my name is Leslie Gable. I'm a certified prevention specialist, as well as the co-CEO of Prevention Resources. We're dedicated to working to promote health and wellness, as well as preventing substance abuse and violence in our community. I'm also the project director of the Safe Communities Coalition and the Drug-Free Task Force. Our goal there is to work within the community collaboratively to reduce substance use by partnering and working within our community. Our goal tonight is to provide the town council with considerations on whether to opt in or opt out regarding 5 of the 6 cannabis licensing. Today, we're going to focus just on the aspects of what's time sensitive. Let's see if I can advance this. Okay, there we go. Are you seeing the marijuana legalized bills now?
Yes, we are.
Yep. Okay, great. So the date of February 22nd is going to be very important, what we'll be focusing on with the next few slides that I'm going to be showing. So on February 22nd, the governor signed marijuana legalization law. If you hear the term CREMA, because the law and act itself is very long, it stands for New Jersey Cannabis Regulatory Enforcement Assistance and Marketplace Modernization Act. So it's now, as just like we like to do locally, we now have a new acronym, but that's what it stands for. The other two bills that were also signed are very important, which I'll be happy to discuss either if there's time later or at another time with the council, because it does affect especially our youth locally. A side note, in New Jersey, we are the only state, by the way, who does not allow for homegrown cannabis. I just thought that that was something that should be mentioned. Okay, so the Cannabis Regulatory Commission has been established, and they are an appointed position. This commission is responsible for establishing all the rules, regulation, including testing for the cannabis industry. And the things I have listed there are just some of the things that they're responsible for, but as you can see, about number of permissible licensing, governing, how they're going to evaluate it, the labeling, the packaging, marketing, all of this is incredibly important to note because it has not, as far as this time, been established. That's something on my screen now, John. It says you and John can annotate. I can't move my screen now.
That's odd. I don't know who John is.
Hold on. Let me see if I can get rid of it. Yeah, it's just giving me a pen. That's interesting.
Oh, somebody must have clicked ask to annotate.
Yeah.
Maybe stop sharing and share again.
Okay. I tell you, there's always something new I learned in our new way of
technology.
Presenting. Okay, there you go. Now it should be okay. All right, so the Cannabis Commission, as I was mentioning, they have a lot on their plate. But basically, with the passing of legalization of marijuana, it's now up to 5 people to basically create the entire industry for our state. The Attorney General has a directive, and I think this is really important for us all to understand. You'll hear different terminology, and in our state, it's not necessarily the same in other states. There's a big distinction between cannabis and marijuana. You'll hear people also interchange these terms, but in our state, when we talk about cannabis, that is regulated cannabis that has been sold from a licensed retail facility to consumer. By the way, that won't probably be established until sometime in 2022. If you hear the term marijuana or hashish, that is basically illegally purchased. That is not regulated with interstate. So that's really important to distinguish between two terms if you hear in regarding the law. If you talk to people, for example, in our community, they might not know what the distinction is. So it's important for us really in our community to understand how it's referred to now. The important thing to also know that is really a big misconception right now is that it is not illegal. Even though the bill was signed, the only people that have legal possession of marijuana is those that possess a medical marijuana card that's been purchased from a licensed dispensary. So currently today, there is no legal marijuana. So I think that's an area too that most people are getting confused about. There's different types of cannabis licensing. There's actually six. The municipalities can actually only, basically, you cannot opt out of six, which is the delivery system. You can opt out of all the others, one through five. However, if you don't opt out at this time, then licenses one through five will be approved basically within your municipality. And we'll talk a little bit more. But as you can see, there's all different types of cannabis here. But again, the only one that can sell directly to a consumer is you have to have a license to be a retailer. The others, just as I said on the slides there, but the one thing too is one company or one operation can have multiple licensing to be able to do the different aspects of the cannabis business. Again, cannabis delivery, by the way, is going to be regulated, and that's not something anyone can opt out in. So here are the considerations that a municipality needs to consider. Remember I said something about that August 22nd date? I mean, that date, February, when the governor signed the law, is they have 180 days that the commission must be able to put out what the regulatory agency is going to adopt. If a municipality does not opt out before the 22nd, so would need to be by the 21st, then your municipalities would be considered for a licensing one through five. Please understand, if you do not opt out as a municipality, meaning that you do not want to have licenses one through five in your jurisdiction, then you can't opt out for another 5 years. And if after that 5 year period comes up and you decide that you do not want to have the licensing operating in your community, then those that are established will get grandfathered in. Here are some other options for a municipality. You can decide which licensing that you want to have within. Again, it could be anyone's from one through five, and that, again, is up to the local municipalities. You can also restrict operation times, dates, manners. You can also dictate how many licenses that you will allow. The other thing is, if say, for example, if you will say, I'm going to allow for four licenses in your township, just because you allow them doesn't mean that the state is going to be able to issue a license for your area. So please remember that that's all dictated by the regulatory commission of how many licenses they're going to issue and exactly where they're going to put them in the state. The other thing that's really important for a municipality to consider is whether you're going to allow on-site consumption areas or not. So that's another thing to really consider about whether you want people buying the product and using the product in that right there on site. And there's lots of areas to think about that with if you have a brick and mortar, and you have other people located next to them, what sort of filtration system that you'll have as far as quality of air and as well as whether your other types of businesses will want that next to them. Some other considerations is around the tax, right? So the taxes that a municipality can put in is up to 2%. So you might deem, hey, I want to do 1%. But you can do up to 2% except for wholesalers. you can only cap that at 1%. So let's just put that into some dollars. So for example, if a retailer sold $1 million, the town would get $20,000. So think about that as far as how much volume would be sold locally to how much the township would get, and what other types of things that you would have to also cover to pay for. Would you need additional law enforcement to assist with as far as community safety? The other thing to also consider is this is a cash-based business, and the cash-based business, you would have to find a way to collect the money, and you would have to also rely on the retailer, for example, if we're talking about retailers, providing you the types of receipts, what system will be in place so you can understand exactly how much money. Remember also the tax for delivery services will not be able to be taxed. So that's just something, again, to consider about how much money would be made for the township versus how much money that you might have to pay to ensure safety and also ensure that a collection system for that, for those funds. Something else to also consider is we've talked about some of the barriers with on-site consumption. Again, I want to just mention that you have to, if you allow the purchase of a cannabis and brought to facility for on-site consumption, they can't carry it out. It has to be destroyed. That's something that they've put in place as a distinction as far as use on property and on-site. So as we talked about some of the cost that you might need to train as far as dedicated employees about how the regulations are, would you need any type of a finance software system as far as how to handle a cash-based business? You'll also have to make sure that the actual sold amount versus the books are managed properly. So these are some things just to keep in mind that you would have to probably take into consideration. We've talked about this, but I'm going to mention this before. This August 21st date is the date before the 22nd that the township must take a consideration. Again, it's of 1 through 5. If you do not specify what you want in licenses in your local geography, is then all 5 will be immediately approved. Again, I mentioned about the 5 years that was established with the legislation that if you opt out and say in a year from now and the township has taken a look at the regulations as they've been laid out and say, hey, this is maybe good for our town, you can opt back in before the 5 years. So again, another something important to take into consideration. I'm actually going to stop right now and change my hat and talk to you about Leslie Gable as a resident here in Hunterdon County. So when we talk about, some people think about the cannabis business as bringing good money for town and to help it thrive. This is a website I actually came across that is operating currently now that no one is collecting tax money on. And the reason I'm saying this as Leslie Gable, because this is my perception and my concern as a parent in our community that this is already what's happening. So this is a website where you can buy different packages of treats, and you can see there that the treats that they're kind of selling in packages are really something more of a younger person's treat, although I will say I do like the peanut M&Ms myself, right? So, but they're selling things in something that would be really geared towards youth. And this is not supposed to be an industry that's geared towards anyone who's under 21, because just like alcohol, that would be illegal. But what they're doing right now is they're actually selling a package of these treats. And notice that that package of treats is selling for $155. But what they're doing is they're actually gifting the cannabis aspect of it. So in other words, they will deliver to your door. You order it online and they will deliver to your door, and the person delivering can actually gift you up to 28 grams of cannabis. So nowhere is our state collecting any type of the taxes that were put in place to really be able to put the funds back into the area of impact zones to help areas of disparities that have really been impacted around marijuana. And also I've cut and pasted up to the right. I don't know if it's too small for you to see, but they're not actually inspecting as far as people's age. unless the driver suspects that they might be under 21. So as a resident and as a mom within our county, but in our state, this personally has me quite concerned. And I say this because, and I'm going to just show you one more slide here because I know that I'm short on time, but I'd like to share the next slide with you. Is the attorney directive for folks that are under the 21. These laws have significantly changed, and somehow they've put alcohol into this same boat. And basically there's three structures of offenses for a juvenile, anyone under the age of 21. The first offense is that they'll get a written warning. And as well as, by the way, this was part of a cleanup bill at first, that they were not going to be notifying their parents. And if you're 18 or older, 18 to 20, they will not be providing any written notice to a parent. So I could be a senior in high school and be in trouble with the law with alcohol and marijuana, and my parent will absolutely not be informed. Again, with the cleanup bill, anyone under 18 will get notified with a letter to the parents or guardian. The second offense is exactly the same, absolutely the same thing, but the parent will be notified if a system's in place, as well as information around whether this was a second offense or also for services that might help their family. The third offense down is a written warning again, not to anyone who's 18 or 20, that providing written warnings and also to the agencies within the community that this person has a third offense as far as being in trouble for alcohol and marijuana. Remember, somebody who's under 21, it doesn't matter whether it's marijuana or cannabis, it is still illegal. The problem concerns that we have in prevention and the work that we do around working with our youth to keep them safe is that there isn't a system in place to track what offense they are, the first, the second, or the third. So that's something else that is left up to the counties, which is going to put cost within the counties and also within your local law enforcement, because you will need a system somehow to track for your officers so they will know when they come across a youth which one that they fall in. I'm going to stop sharing my screen because I have lots of more slides, but I know you have a full agenda. Is there any questions over anything that I went over today? I want to leave you before I answer any questions is it's up to the town council whether you want to opt in, opt out. Again, the licenses are 1 through 5. If you opt out now and decide later at any given time, you can opt back in. But if you don't do anything as far as establishing which licensing you want now, you will be legally bind to licenses 1 through 5. You can, as a township, decide, hey, I might only want a wholesaler. I might just want a retailer. You can decide that now as well. If you decide to completely opt out, again, at any given time, you can opt back in. If you don't, then you will have to wait 5 years as part of the rules, whether you want to change those different licensing requirements. The only thing in summary that you can't do anything about is 6, which is delivery services. So anyone, and that's still to be established. Even though I showed you that other website where they're doing delivery, I'm actually looking into that because I'm sure it's a loophole in the law, but that's supposed to be part of the regulatory commission to have a licensed person or licensed businesses that they can ensure that the people that they're delivering to are over 21. So are there any questions that I can answer for the town?
I have a quick question. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I had brought this up, but we've been talking about this off and on for the past couple months, I think. And I did ask the question in regards to I'm a little sensitive about where they can go in our retail space. Of course, I'm concerned about our K-8, but I'm mostly concerned about North Hunterdon High School, which is in Clinton Township. They're not just Clinton Township residents. They're kids from sending districts. So let's just say there's that one retail area where the spa is right next to the North Hunterdon. Oh, there's the physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
To say, all right. Would we have any say if they went there and for their retail space?
So that's a great question that you brought up, and I'm glad you did bring this up. So currently, right now, there's zoning laws that have to be further than 1,000 yards away from like schools where they have the drug-free school zones. However, that's not the case. You would have to have established something with your zoning areas, because right now they could have an operation absolutely right next door. Because it's now considered legalized marijuana, excuse me, cannabis, is that they can operate because it's a legalized business. So those zoning laws, which are really around federal law, drug-free zones, do not apply. So that could be something that your planning and zoning board could put in place, and you could absolutely determine where you wanted that, but you would need to do that before the 22nd of August.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Any questions from council?
Yeah, could I just maybe clarify on the delivery services? Because I might be wrong on this, so please forgive me. I understood there was this distinction that no town could prevent delivery within their borders, but they didn't have to permit a delivery service to be based in their township. Or was that not really a difference?
It's not really just a difference, except you can't you can have a delivery service in your community operating out of there, because you can't prevent that license.
Okay.
So that I mean, that's not what the legislation says.
As far as delivery services?
Yeah. I mean, the legislation just states that the municipality can prohibit the operation of any one or more classes of cannabis establishment or cannabis distributors or cannabis delivery services. What you can't do is prevent cannabis from being delivered to residents within your municipality, but you can prohibit that business from establishing itself, that particular class of license. I mean, that's what the statute states explicitly.
So, yeah, I'm going to leave that up to the lawyers and the legislation, because the other thing I want to also establish, so everyone understands, there's so many cleanup bills that are also being proposed right now. So it gets kind of complicated when if you're looking at one, that there's cleanup bills that are coming in, you have to know all the cleanup bills. So for that one, I can't answer that, except to say that we've been guided that we cannot stop delivery services. So but you would have to make an establishment before the 22nd that's not what you wanted, but you can't prohibit that license in general for the state. So I'm going to tell you that's one that we'll probably need a legal, someone.
Yes, well, that's Ms. Essel is our attorney.
Yeah, well, there you go. So I don't know that, except we've been told through the League of Municipalities that it's 1 through 5. So that's what we know.
Thank you. I did have one more. This is incredibly helpful. Thank you for the information. It doesn't really relate to the ordinance we're discussing as much, but you were talking about that third warning. What does notifying a community agency actually mean?
So we do not know specifically, because the guidelines have not really been laid out. But what we are interpreting that to mean is that agencies such as mine, as well as any other type of agency that has treatment services, will be informed. But again, it's not clear on which ones and how are you going to determine which ones you should go to, because we don't know. And that's really kind of what our point is all around, is that we don't know what the answers are specifically. And so to make an informed decision, it gets difficult, because there's so many questions that keep coming up. I mean, just even like the ones we were talking about as far as delivery services, right? Just as you were brought up, that's a point that, you know, we might, again, keep going back and forth on what we understand.
Okay, thank you much.
All right. Well, thank you, Ms. Gable, very much. And thank you, Councilman Strauss, for having suggested we have Prevention Resources come present. I think this was extraordinarily helpful, a lot of good information for both the governing body and for the public. So.
I'd just like to thank everything for that you guys do, and I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. And if there's ever any time that there's any information we could share, please feel free to always reach out. And again, we'll keep providing you information as we receive it. The one thing I do want to let you know that there is some tracking that is going to be put in place for measurements. And as we get them, we'll be happy to also provide them out. It is going to be measured by the Drug Monitoring Initiative, which is part of the Regional Operations Intelligence Center. They're going to be tracking public health, public safety, and youth. So we'll be able to get this information and be able to have a third party being able to measure it for the state. So that will be something we'll be able to share. And as I said, when we get more information about how all the operations is working, I think that's going to help really guide decision making.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Thank you, Leslie.
Okay. We'll move now to, before we get to the public hearing on this very topic, we'll move to reports. We'll start with Councilman Glazer. And for those wondering, we approve the minutes in the consent agenda. So you're up.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. On the planning board, there was a meeting on May 3rd. We memorialized the resolution I talked about last time for Willett's Own. It's the new general store in the adjacent, I'll say, part of the Game Butcher spot right on Route 31. I think I read online it opened either yesterday or today. I've not been there yet, but obviously I hope local people support a local business. We performed the consistency review of the cannabis legislation, which I think we'll talk about later. And then there was one public hearing for a I'll call it a minor change to the antenna, the cellular antenna behind Geo's, the Clinton Township Sewage Authority on Beaver Ave and really Route 78. AT&T is putting in a generator, which I think we all appreciate. If there's another power shortage, we'll have more cell phone for longer. That was approved with all sorts of legalities behind it. The meeting we have scheduled for next Monday has been canceled due to applications. On the Historic Commission, we met on May 5th. A couple of things. On Windy Acres, I was just talking to Vita today. The guys are working to dispose of some scrap metal in the basement of the historic Gitlow House. We're still talking about how to maybe fix the roof to prevent the water from further damaging that building. We had a discussion about the weather bane from the old Beaverbrook site, which is in the municipal possession. I think we're moving away from giving it to that property and maybe thinking of displaying it somewhere else, given various issues involved, but TBD. I think more discussion to be had. It's not a small object. It's about 4 feet tall, I think, if my understanding. And then we're still looking into trying to find a local business to support re-roofing that small spring house next to the public safety building at the corner of 31 and Valley Crest. Maybe a local business will. And that's really all I have.
Thank you very much. Councilman Strauss.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Clinton Township Board of Education had their meeting this past Monday. They extended the contract into next year for their interim superintendent, Dr. Roberto. So they were very happy that that occurred. Clinton Township Middle School held their 11th Relay for Life awareness and fundraiser rally back in April. In-person 8th grade graduation will be held this year on June 15th with a rain date of June 17th, and that will be held at North Huntington High School. So special thanks go out to North Huntington High School for letting them have their ceremonies there. They have to do a modified kindergarten roundup this year, and that's for the new kindergarten students coming up. That'll be on June 21st and 22nd, and that will also be a virtual option for those who wish not to participate in person. Thought this was interesting. The school district is offering summer programs for students who may not feel they grasped all the learning concepts this past 2020 to 2021 school year. And due to COVID-19, amended classroom settings, closures, and there's already 168 students signed up for this. So I thought that was a great idea, and I'm glad that parents are being proactive and taking advantage of this. And lastly, the next Clinton Township Board of Ed meeting, virtual meeting, is Monday, June 28th at 7:30 p.m. As for the Environmental Commission, more of a recap. As you know, we had our rain barrel event on April 10th, Earth Day April 22nd. There was an open space hearing for the disc golf course on April 28th. Windy Acres trail markers, maps, are being finalized with the assistance of Open Space and Environmental Commission input. There is progress on the content for the Clinton Township Environmental Commission portion of the website. I'm also looking for a member to step up and see to be sort of a coordinator between Clinton Township Environmental Commission as well as Open Space. And great progress, as Amy has noted, in the cleanup at the ProStack Farm from all the dumping and debris there. So as far as the Environmental Commission goes, their next meeting is Thursday, June 3rd at 7:30 p.m. and location and format to be determined, which is also a good news. For public safety, as you may or may not know, this is National Police Week, which started on May 9th and ends May 15th. We did the EMS proclamation tonight, which was great. It was nice to see both input from our citizens as well as our first responders, specifically South Branch Emergency Services. I've been speaking with Lieutenant DeRosa regarding several matters, speeding complaints on Lilac Drive. He wanted it noted that there have been 27 speed enforcements done on Lilac Drive, which is about above average, and he has been in contact with the resident that has brought it to our attention of the speeding that's been going on Lilac Drive. And he is looking to purchase an additional digital sign that would help in the efforts of taking care of that, slowing people down on Lilac Drive, especially in the times that were referenced in the email. He did meet with a vendor as well regarding cameras at Bunt Park and spoke to Carla regarding solicitors in the township without permits, and the officers have been given instruction to start giving ordinance violations accordingly and when justified. That's it. That's all I have. Sorry it's a little lengthy, but always good information to share with our public and other members of council. Thank you.
Thank you much. Councilwoman Switlik. Yep, you're muted, Amy.
Sorry, my dog was barking. I had to mute myself. All right. Can you hear me now? Yes. Okay. North and Voorhees Board of Ed will be meeting on Monday the 18th. Open Space, as far as Marukian goes, Les Rich and I walked the property to figure out how we're going to reroute the 5K course. Les has some great ideas. Scott Hender is brush hogging one of the extra fields to add some mileage there. We will be using a small portion of the woods, which I prefer anyway because it provides shades to the cross-country team when they're training. The hearing that I conducted a couple weeks ago for the disc golf, I think the two-week comment section might be closed at the moment. I'm not sure, but at that point, everyone, the public had 2 weeks to comment on the hearing, so I think it might be coming to a close if it had not already. Windy Acres, Open Space worked with our forestry management person, and they have created a nice trail map for us, so I consider it finalized, and I could probably distribute it to anyone who would like to look at it. It has all the trail colors and the signs and the names, the Gitlow House Pavilion and things like that. James and I went through and manicured a couple of the trails, so I would like to encourage the public to at least hit the Cedar and Creekside trails that will be shown on the map, hitting the Gitlow Trail, and we need some cleanup on the perimeter trails, but we are having the landscape. We approved this last council meeting to pitch in with or supplementing the mowing over at Windy Acres, Prostack, and Hackett's. So in between the farming mowing, we're going to have a landscaper come in and mow it as well, just periodically. We have a Boy Scout putting in a couple benches over there for an Eagle Scout project. It looks pretty good. The foundation for the pavilion, it was supposed to be poured, I think, this week or the last week, but because of the Prostack activity that Open Space has been doing, it's been a little delayed. So now to Prostack East, great stuff happening. That dump has been completely cleaned up. I have pictures if you guys want to see the before and after. The DPW did a fantastic job. I've been working with Bill Martin. He has let us use his property to access the dump with the machinery and the dumpsters. And the tire cleanup happened today. We met all this morning at, again, Mr. Martin's property. We had three Department of Health people there. The DPW helped with the removal. There were four dump trucks and one mosquito truck, they call it, which is sort of like a smaller dump truck that were filled two times and sent over to the county. Each load is approximately 50 to 75 tires. So times that by 10, and that's how many tires I had. We had no idea. It's probably close to 500 or so tires that we had to remove. Now, this is through Clean Communities. I'm thrilled that we got in contact with these people. The Department of Health, they have so many ideas for us as far as litter cleanup. They have inmate programs. They have so many things to offer to help, obviously, our municipality and other municipalities. So they basically came, took these tires, and that was it for Clinton Township. That's all we had to do. And that also included all the tires that were at Windy Acres that were at the DPW. We brought them over to PROSAC, and they took care of it. So it was a really exciting day. We've been working for a long time to try to get that area cleaned up. It's a beautiful property, and now there isn't any litter or tires. So it's really exciting for all of us. And the only thing I have is Beaverbrook Ravine. I think I know that you all know that we have a trail system over there, Beaverbrook, and then we have the hookup to Foran Field that hooks to that trail. What's happening is more people are using it, and they are not using Foran as a parking area, and they're parking right along Hermanthal. And as we all know, Hermanthal is a dangerous road. You're not supposed to park on it anyway. So I'm working with DeRosa in regards to parking signs. He provided some to me, and Mike Aversa and I are hanging some up, and the DPW will be hanging a chain. There's a section with two parking spots that are really only for township personnel and trail maintenance workers. So that's going to be chained off as well. And hopefully we won't have a problem, but it's dangerous over there to be parking on that road. So, and that's it.
Amy, just a question. What sure. else is there target over at ProStack Farm for debris cleanup? Is there anything left that is to be done? Is there anything in the woods? Or I know there was some concerns about some barrels there or something. Has that been all remediated?
No, yeah. I mean, back before all this started, we consulted with our environmental consultant just to find out if we were doing everything right and how to do it. So he advised us to proceed. And again, we were working with the Department of Health. So, you know, we were doing exactly what we needed to do. DPW, we've been working with them, I think it's like almost 3 weeks to try to get all that out of there, and they're grading it nicely. And we separated the tires aside. So again, the Department of Health came in and took care of that for us as well. So yeah, it's, you know, we worked our rear ends off, and we're really happy with the results.
That's great. Thank you.
Yes.
I can't wait to see it myself.
Yes. Yeah. Enjoy.
Maybe this weekend. Okay. Thank you much. Council President Kochanowski.
As most of our spend is on a consent agenda, I have nothing to report other than repeating that, which I won't.
Well, I'll just touch on that. We, for my report, Finance Committee did meet briefly last week to discuss some capital budgeting and to really start planning balance of road work for this year and get ready to plan for our capital needs in the upcoming year and those following. So, and Councilman Glazer, I don't think you mentioned the website. Councilman Glazer, Administrator Mekovitz, and I met this afternoon at noon with our website consultant and started to do some pretty basic but necessary planning for a new website that hopefully will take care of some of the issues we've been experiencing with the old and no longer really supported website that we've had. So this will be hopefully in the next 3 to 6 months. We'll see some progress and stay tuned. On the roads department, we are hoping for final approval from the state DOT soon to do the two grants that we have, one side of Gray Rock, partial reconstruction and mill and pave, and the other side of Gray Rock on the over by Finagles, the same, along with Fairview, Fulper Place and Fulper Alley. On the personnel front, we posted the chief's position for the police department, so we're looking forward to getting resumes internally for that. And we experienced yesterday a resignation in our construction code office, so we'll be looking for a a new construction code official. Anybody has someone that they could recommend, I'm sure we'd be willing to consider. Last two items that I have that I'm getting a little bit of feedback, but the last two items I have are look for at our May 26th meeting a line item for discussion on MOBIS. I've asked our engineer to provide us with a memo outlining not only the options but recommendations, and hopefully he'll reach out to DOT because we will have to get DOT approval to do anything there. It's a connector road to a state highway. So, and then that's it. I think we may have some upcoming redevelopment areas to discuss, but I think I'll mention that when we get to the ordinance introduction. Now we'll move on to Administrator Mekovitz. Did you have anything you'd like to report?
No, I think everybody covered it.
Excellent.
Thank you.
That's what happens when you're toward the end.
Yes, and that's okay. Everything was covered.
Very good. We'll move now to the first public hearing. The first public hearing is an ordinance authorizing a lease with the Clinton Township Organic Community Garden Incorporated pertaining to a portion of Block 88, Lot 3.02, also known as the White Cloud Orchids property in the Township of Clinton. And just by way of introduction to this topic, which I know we've discussed on multiple occasions, the group and the club of the Organic Community Garden in Clinton Township would like to disassociate itself from the township directly and lease the property so that they have a little bit more freedom. They've done an outstanding and excellent job there. I think it's really turned into a terrific asset. And have to thank, going back a few years, Councilman Voss for having pushed for this. So I think it's turned out really, really well. And this just allows them to enter into a lease with us so that they can continue to operate it a little more freely. Any questions from the members of council before we open the hearing?
None. We discussed at length when it was introduced.
Yep.
Good. In that case, I will open the public hearing, and similar to our public comment session earlier, if you'd like to comment, please, if you're using a computer, click on participants and then click on raise your hand next to your name. If you're using a mobile device, click raise hand from the meeting controls. And if you're using a telephone, press *3 or you can press *6 to unmute yourself. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone. I see someone now, Ms. Alfano.
Sorry, it's the same question. To be clear, is this for something on the agenda or is this public comment?
This is a public comment specific to this particular ordinance.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm going to go back on mute. Thank
you. Go ahead, and there'll be another right after this also for that particular ordinance, just so you know. Anyone else who might wish to comment on this particular ordinance? Seeing and hearing none. Any discussion on the part of council before we move to a motion? I know I support it. Okay, hearing no discussion, would someone like to make a motion?
I'd like to make the motion as a member of the garden and council.
Ms. Cecil, what do you think?
member of the garden, you mean you're part of the nonprofit, or you just have a plot in the community garden?
I have a plot and I grow vegetables there.
That's fine. It's not an issue.
Right.
All right. May I have a second?
The vegetables might be. I don't know. Maybe I need to reconsider my. No, I'm kidding.
I will second.
Fine.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick? Is she on mute?
I think probably.
Yes. Sorry, it's my dog's fault. Yes.
Council President Kochanowski?
Yes.
Mayor Malloy?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you very much. Yes. We will now move on to our second public hearing. This is specific to an ordinance of the Township of Clinton in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, amending Clinton Township's land use regulations to prohibit all classes of cannabis business within the township. Something that the presentation I think earlier helped, and I know we've had a presentation from our, or at least a discussion with our attorney a few meetings back, further when we introduced it. So I think for tonight, the issues here are pretty clear, and I would suggest that regardless of whether this passes or not, I would like to appoint a subcommittee of the council to continue to investigate the issue and see where certain things make sense and where certain things don't make sense, if at all. And I would propose, and I will actually do, appoint Councilman Strauss, who's our public safety liaison, and Councilman Glazer, who has got some planning experience and knowledge, to consult with the appropriate individuals, organizations, any of the members who speak, members of the public who speak tonight in favor or those against, just to get a general sense of what direction we'd like to head. So on that, any questions remaining from council? I think we've done pretty well on this issue. Hearing none, I would ask to open the public hearing, and anyone who wishes to speak, you may raise your hand. I have two. Ms. Ambrose, you'll go first. You're recognized for 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Alice Ambrose.
Oh, yep. Yep. Go ahead.
Can you give your address, please?
Absolutely. My name is Alex Ambrose. I'm a resident of Annandale at 25 Round Top Drive. I'm also a candidate for an executive master's of public administration at Rutgers Camden. I have some facts. The rate of all cannabis-related emergency room visits increased 47% between 2006 and 2014, which translates to an average increase of 210,000 cannabis-related emergency room visits. Cannabis contributes to about 18.5% of emergency room visits. Cannabis-impaired driving fatalities in 2015 accounted for over 10,000 deaths, which is 29% of overall driving fatalities. In 2010, cannabis misuse cost the United States $249 billion. An estimated 95,000 people die from cannabis-related causes annually, making it the third leading preventable cause of death in the United States. Actually, none of that is true. All of that is actually about alcohol. Adults are three times more likely to binge drink and or use tobacco than use cannabis. 562 out of 565 municipalities passed the constitutional amendment, and two of the three who did not pass it had less than 15 voters. The ballot measure was passed by 67% of voters, and nationally, 78% of Democrats, 68% of Republicans, and 67% of independent voters are pro-legalization. As Leslie said, municipalities cannot ban use or ban companies from delivering within this jurisdiction. So banning would not stop use, it would only stop revenue, and further the stigma, putting Clinton Township on the wrong side of history. The use of marijuana is spread across all ages, all races, and all genders. And sadly, the intent behind banning cannabis business from operating is usually due to the stigma around it, which disproportionately harms people of color. Banning the sale of cannabis is a facade to ameliorate unfounded concerns of uneducated people. If we're concerned about real harm to the community, why not ban alcohol? As a legal medical marijuana user, I ask the council to table this ordinance tonight and continue their research. I am happy to volunteer to assist in this process. Ignoring the will of the voters and banning the legal sale of a legal substance is not only an incredibly short-sighted economic decision, it is frankly entirely undemocratic. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Bear with me 2 seconds. I'm just going to stop the timer. Okay. The next person is Jake Calavecchio. You are recognized. Please identify yourself for the record. And you'll need to come off mute. There you go.
Yes. Hi. Thank you. Yes, I'm Jerry Calavecchio, and I live at 32 Redtail Hawk Court in Annandale. And I'm one of the voters who voted against legalizing marijuana for recreational use, for adult use, for many reasons. First of all, the today's marijuana is very different than marijuana in past decades. The THC levels are extremely high, and especially with the concentrates and edibles, could be up to 90% THC, which is a very addicting drug. And with all of the youth that are vaping today, they are also vaping marijuana or cannabis, which that's what we're supposed to refer the legalized use for. And it really concerns me, because when the perception of harm goes down, usage rates go up, especially with our youth. Our youth, you know, their brains are developing sometimes through their mid-20s, and they don't make good decisions. And using marijuana, it's very harmful to an adolescent's brain while it's developing. And this really concerns me, that if the township decides to go with having some type of retail establishment or something else, it's going to normalize it for our youth, just like it's been alcohol's been normalized. And we see youth rates of alcohol. New Jersey is above the, Hunterdon County is above the state average for those that are in treatment for alcohol. And it just really is concerning to bring another drug in when we don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what the regulations are. We don't know, the information that I've seen from other states that have already legalized, you know, accident rates or crash rates have gone through the roof. Usage rates for age 12 to 17 have gone up, as well as, ED rates for kids getting into edibles, pets getting into edibles, and mistakenly eating the candy that looks just like candy. It's hard to distinguish. So this does, as a parent and a resident of Annandale and part of Clinton Township, it really has me very nervous. You know, drug driving, there's no real method of telling what a limit is, like they have with alcohol. So I really hope that the township committee, you know, takes all this information in and makes a good informed decision this evening. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I do not see anyone else with their hands raised, but I don't know that that necessarily means there's not anyone else who wishes to speak. So at this point in time, if anyone is on the line who wishes to speak, please unmute yourself. If you're on the phone, it's star six, rather. I happen to be locked out. Okay, seeing or hearing none, I will hereby close the public hearing, and we'll open the floor for discussion amongst council members. I'll just throw out my two cents, which is, to me, it's hard to make a decision when we don't have all the details on what that decision's going to cause for the township. The regulations aren't promulgated, and are unlikely to be so until, I think, after the deadline to make this decision. So I know the league's position is that all towns should consider opting out, and then if we choose at a later date, we can opt into what we wish, what we don't wish. To me, it's a little bit like being told you have to bet on the outcome of a game before you know what the rules of the game are. And there are, aside from the safety complaints that we've heard, I think, even more profoundly for the township planning issues, where I don't think we want the township to be locked into certain planning decisions that otherwise our ordinances and zoning codes would prohibit. So for that reason, I would be in favor of passing this ordinance at this time and hopefully receiving some feedback over the coming months from Councilman Strauss and Glazer.
I would like to agree with what you're saying. I think that a lot of the controversy is sort of like if cannabis is right or wrong, we should have in our community or not. And it's really not about that. It's about, we really need to take this slowly. We're not saying, no, this will never happen. If we don't take this precaution, however, we're handcuffed for 5 years. At least now we can enter into this ordinance. And then, I mean, what, 2 weeks from now, we can change our minds. If we don't opt in now, we're stuck. So I'm thinking maybe we can go slowly and look at other municipalities. How are they affected? Is there a pros? Are there cons? Something like that I really would like to see. And, you know, it's not like this will never happen. I don't think any of us are making that decision tonight. We're just making a decision, or I'm going to vote for opting in, because it's just, we really need to be careful and take our time. And it's not judging anybody about cannabis use or not. It's just what I think it was, what the township should do for the time being, and just take it slow.
I have to agree with what Amy said. She kind of summarized it well. This gives us the option. Without doing this, we don't have an option for 5 years. So any right-minded person would rather have a situation where you have options. I am not against the use of legal cannabis, but because there's so many unanswered questions, I'd rather have the option until August 22nd, if that's the right date.
And I actually landed the same spot. To me, this is purely a planning decision. It weighs on me, and I do note with great interest that 60% of the registered voters who voted in the November election in the township approved of this measure, which is 52% of all the registered voters. So it does receive usage, receive support. I view that as different than planning decisions, and I'm unwilling to allow the township to just cede all of its planning decisions for 5 years and not know what that outcome would be. We've avoided doing that forever because we have zoning laws. And I think to fail to opt out now is tantamount to just allowing our planning to go wherever. I like the idea of being able to study this issue, coming back to council with proposals once the regulations are more clear and we can take a much more measured view on this.
Thank you much. Anyone else from council wish to say anything? All right. May I have a motion?
So moved.
I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Swetlick?
Oh, muted again.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Yes.
Council President Kochanowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Malloy?
Yes. And I would, thank you much. I would especially encourage Councilman Strauss and Glazer to not only keep us up to date periodically, maybe once a month or every other month, but also to hear all sides on this issue. I know there are a lot of folks who are really in favor of it. So do take that into consideration as we evaluate all the rules and regulations as they're promulgated. The next item on our agenda is resolutions under new business. There are none. We will move to ordinances for consideration. We have one ordinance. This is an ordinance of the Township of Clinton amending Chapter 165 of the Code of the Township of Clinton, creating the AH9 Affordable Housing Zoning District to facilitate a mixed-income affordable housing development on Route 31 North, Block 70, Lots 6 and 6.01, amending the Township zoning map and schedule of zoning requirements accordingly. This is in part the result of a recently revised settlement agreement. It does not increase the number of affordable housing units that we'll be providing under our court-mandated affordable housing obligation. It's simply shifting that obligation. We had 89 units scheduled for LeCompte, which is a site on Route 31 near Valley Crest. This 80 of those units to these two particular parcels on Route 31. There would be approximately 144 residential units, plus one unit for a superintendent. Of those 144 rental units, there would be 80% or 80 affordable units. That's a 55% set aside, which is really unheard of. And in addition, it relieves some of the financial obligation of the township to provide those units. Should be recovering about $500,000 and change in previous outlays for sewer capacity. The balance of the affordable housing units would be spread over potentially a gray rock road near Finagle's redevelopment area, I think. 30 units proposed there with 6 affordable out of those 30, and then 3 special needs bedrooms elsewhere. That particular piece of Gray Rock I've been eyeing, and we've had discussions. It's been in the planning board. It's in the master plan, identified as a potential area in need of redevelopment. It's, for those who aren't familiar, it's pretty run down and underutilized. So any use there, I think, would be a good use. Is there any comment or question on the part of council?
No, I don't think so, but I think you've covered it. I mean, to me, this is really the outcome of the third amendment to the settlement agreement, which I do believe reduced the risk on the township. So it's a necessary hedge. So it's the necessary next step. I admit to having some current concerns about this site because it's maybe a little more dense than I'd like located on that. But given the constraints of the site, I do believe that this ordinance, the proposed ordinance, makes a lot of sense. I wish we could do more setbacks. I wish we'd do more screening, but there are limits to what can be done on any site given the Highlands constraints and everything else.
Thank you, Councilman Glazer. Any other comments?
Yes, Mayor. Just I want to reiterate what I said when we had our last public meeting about this. Although this is a good deal, I think, it is a good deal for the township and the taxpayers. It lessens the financial burden on our municipality, which is a direct reflection of the financial burden on our taxpayers. However, that is the only part of this I'm in favor of. So just thank you for, again, letting me reiterate my opinion on that.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there's no question that the township advocated at the time of the hearing before the state Supreme Court for a different methodology and a different way of working. And this is what we ended up with. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court. So I don't think anyone here disagrees. Any other comments from the council?
I'm not muted, am I? I just want people to understand that this is not a brand new development that just happened. It's actually going to fair share to swap. We're eliminating one to put this in. So, you know, I don't want people to think that we're just doing unnecessary building. This is, it's sort of a swap. And, I think it's a good plan. I'm not like a fan of the amount of affordable. I'm not against affordable housing. I'm not a fan of the amount we have to build. I just think that this is probably the best deal for us right now as a township.
And Amy, I think that's a really good point, because sort of in exchange for this better deal for the township, we have had to agree to an increased number of market units on that site, but that itself carries advantages to the township in terms of ratables and everything else.
Hey, any other comments? Hearing none, may I have a motion?
I'll move.
I have a second.
I second.
Roll call.
Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes, with the reasons set forth.
Councilwoman Switlik?
Yes.
Council President Kaczynowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Malloy?
Yes, and I would request that we set the public hearing for this ordinance to be June 9th, because it does need to have planning board review. I believe that date works, Ms. Cecil. Yes, I hope.
The 9th of the 12th.
Yeah, I already wrote myself.
Yes, I believe it does. Denise. Yep.
The 12th is 6 month bill, I think.
Yeah.
So, okay. Excellent. Now, I'm going to jump the gun on the open public comment. Ms. Alfano, you may have the floor first. Anyone else who wishes to speak, please raise your hand. Just to reiterate, if you're using a computer, click on participants, then click on raise hand. If you're using a mobile device, click raise hand. And if you're using a telephone, *3. And then after the prompt, when you're recognized, you can press *6 if you're not being heard. And Ms. Alfano, you're up.
Oh, gosh, sorry about that. I was multitasking with work and half listening, so my apologies for continuing to ask about public comment. Actually, I had a whole little speech prepared, but then, of course, Mr. Stress kind of took my thunder away. I actually just wanted to say thank you very much. I actually was the resident who spoke with Lieutenant DeRosa regarding the speeding. I did want to make clear this is actually just not a problem on my street, which is Lilac Drive in Annandale. This is really a problem prolific throughout Hunterdon County if you're a person who jogs, walks, bikes. I am very happy to hear that there is support from the mayor and the council to work with Lieutenant DeRosa. I'm hopeful on both a plan and providing resources to hopefully get the speeding under control. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And you're quite right. I received a complaint and I have to follow up to see how it's going on Potterstown Road. And at that occasion, about a month ago, in a conversation with Lieutenant DeRosa, I said, we better get ready because it's that season again. And Red Schoolhouse, I know, is another that typically gets it. So Blossom Hill and of course, Lilac and the tributaries. So
Lilac Drive is particularly bad because it parallels 31. I responded to her email that I had my home. Starter home on 117 Lilac. And when my children were little, I take them for walks and, you know, just about get run over. So this problem isn't new on Lilac Drive. So,
yeah. So thank you very much. And I myself apologize for not having had a chance to write you back yet. Are there any other members of the public who might wish to comment? This is our last public comment session. It is open to anything your heart desires.
Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry. In the chat box, I saw a conversation going back and forth with Carla and someone named Joan A. Was she able to speak yet? Or is she still on?
Joan K.
Joan K is on there.
Hi, I'm just an observer. I don't live in Clinton Township. I live next door. So.
Ah, okay. Okay. Was there anything you wish to say, or you're good?
Just observing.
Okay. Thank you much. And thank you, Councilman Strauss. Well, seeing nor hearing anyone else from the public wishing to comment, Mr. Glazer, you have some duties to attend to.
Yeah, motion to adjourn.
I'll second that. What the heck? If I go to Tom, he's going to say no. Yeah. Roll call, please.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Kuchinowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Malay.
Yes.
And we're adjourned.
Thank you very much. Everyone have a good evening.
Thank you.
Bye.
I'll turn it out. Yep.